We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Tuesday. It's April 16th. It is 2024. We have a 10-game MLB slate to talk about here on today's podcast. Joined today by my good buddy, Mr. Keith Eister. Eyes 819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Rough night in the MLB streets. We were just talking about it before we jumped on the show. There's some really low scores out there. Derek in the chat says, rough night when the cash line at 10:30 is 57 DK points. And I completely am feeling that right now. Joseph responds with a ringer here, rougher when you're below it. And yeah, it's been a tough night here. I have Houston and Atlanta stacks all over that have a combined 3 runs. I've got a lot of Dodgers left, so maybe they bail me out. Ended up on way more Ross Stripling than I wanted to, just to be able to fit in some of those elite stacks. He's through 4 innings here looking okay, but definitely need the Dodgers to do some because none of my other bats are doing anything.
Weird night. Yeah, I mean, you ended up on Stripling. I ended up on Martin Perez more than I thought I was going to. And Martin Perez was like doing okay, and then he just stopped throwing strikes. And he did hit his bet, though. I had over 16 and a half outs on him, and he did hit that, but DFS-wise, not great. Dude, I mean, Montas off to a rough start. The Dodgers kind of just not doing much. Glasnow off to a rough start. Like, it's just a weird slate. Like, the Brewers, you know, if you did a Brewers stack, you're probably not hurting too bad. If you had Trio, I think is how they say his name. Jackson Trio. Yep. Rio, yeah. So he had a fantastic game. I think he went single, stolen base, 2 or 3 run homer. And then the rest of the stack, like they were cheap enough where they didn't kill you. Like my best stack or my best team on DraftKings tonight is a Milwaukee stack. So it has Montas though. Sonny Gray is pitching decent to start the night. We'll see if he can keep that up. Shouldn't really shock anybody. We talked about him a lot yesterday in the podcast.
Kirby going looking pretty good. I've got quite a bit of Kirby, so. I guess
nice
I got a
bounce little back spot for Kirby, like maybe potentially.
Yeah, I think so. I dug into him pretty deep today, and he had given up like a 380 BABIP, which that's just not going to sustain. All this swinging strike stuff, the called strike whiff rate looked really good. So I stayed on Kirby. We'll see how it works out, but okay so far through three. He's got 4 strikeouts. I thought it was a really good strikeout spot for him too.
You know who I did play that only 4% of the field played? Michael Busch. Told you guys.
Dud, man.
I just keep smacking the ball, man. I know you know because you're a Cubs fan, but what a pickup. I don't know if they signed him in free agency or if he was part of a trade or something, but I'm sure they only paid peanuts for him. Was it five straight home runs now? Five straight games?
They gave up a pretty good left-handed pitching prospect for him. Jackson Ferris was the return there for the Dodgers. He looks like he's going to be something. It's going to be a couple years. Yeah, he's still really young. But they did have to give something up to get him.
Michael Busch has hit a home run every day this season. So they're winning that trade. All joking aside, let's get into breaking it down. We got a 10-game slate. What's up, chat? See you all over there hanging out with us live. Appreciate you guys. Let's give you guys first look on this slate. Yankees, Blue Jays, 9 total in this one. Yankees are 122 favorite. We got the battle of the lefties here. Carlos Rodon against Yusei Kikuchi. Any interest here in Carlos Rodon?
Yeah, two volatile lefties, two lefties who can get some strikeouts when they're on their game. They can give up some home runs when they're not. I faded Rodon in that last start against Miami. It was a great matchup for him, and kudos to him. He pitched really, really well. I think I prefer Kikuchi on the other side of this matchup. Just Rodon has not been right for seems like 2 years now. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of him at this point of his career. If he puts together a couple of starts in a row, I'm going to have to reevaluate that because he does have a big arm. When he, like I said, when he's on and when he's healthy, he has massive strikeout stuff. We just haven't seen that guy in a really long time. I think this matchup here against Toronto is much more difficult than the one against Miami. Toronto just, they don't strike out all that much. They're down around 20% for the season and they're extremely right-handed heavy. So if Rodon's going to gain ownership on this slate, I'll probably be underweight. If I land there, I don't hate it. But like I said, if I could find the 200 to get to Kikuchi on the other side, I think I prefer to do that.
Yeah. So like, I don't know if it's just a perfect scenario on like how many lefties they had in the lineup for the Marlins, but like, I don't know. You look at it and you're like, I just don't expect that. And like, you know, this lineup, the Blue Jays just in general, they're very right-handed heavy offense anyway. And they just don't strike out against left-handed pitching. Like they don't have a ton of power. I don't think this is like a spot you're like running to stack the Blue Jays. I mean, we'll talk about like Bichette and we'll talk about like Turner and we'll talk about a couple of these options, but like you're not running to necessarily stack the Blue Jays in this spot. I just don't think you want to play Carlos Rodon. He doesn't have like a huge strikeout like matchup here. Even in his decent outing, like, he had 6 strikeouts, but still struggled to strike out righties. He doesn't have that out pitch against righties. I'm with you on Kikuchi. I think he's a really interesting like tournament, like large field tournament play. He has really good strikeout stuff just in general. And like, he's actually started the season on kind of a heater here. Pitched really well against the Yankees in his second start of the year. Struggled against Tampa, which is weird because Tampa has been really bad against lefties this year. You kind of already said you have some interest in Kikuchi. You want to go a little bit more into that?
Yeah, it's definitely a tournament play because there's a chance here that the Yankees just touch him up for 3 home runs and he doesn't get out of the 4th inning. That is definitely within the range of outcomes. But you touched on his strikeout stuff. He's over 30% strikeout rate on the season. He's always been a guy who's been able to miss bats a little bit, but seems like he's picked it up a little bit here. Great start to the season, dominated Seattle in his last start with 9 strikeouts. Seattle's a high strikeout team. He was good in that first matchup against New York as well. So I don't love that he's facing the Yankees again in such a short time period. I feel like that's definitely an advantage for the offense in those scenarios. But I still feel like there's solid strikeout upside here. The Yankees have quite a few strikeouts in the lineup. It's in Toronto instead of Yankee Stadium. I think that helps him limit the power a little bit. But definitely a boom-bust spot. I'm chasing strikeouts here under 8K is basically the gist of the play.
Man, Montas out of the game already.
Ouch.
Wow. That one's rough a little bit. So I was looking into Kikuchi before we got rolling, and like he is still generating a ton of whiffs. Like this is a guy that generated a ton of whiffs on like all of his pitches, even last year. He just has these like, he has these games where he just gives up a lot of hard hits and home runs. But the strikeouts are always there. The walks are a little concerning. I was looking at some of his X numbers on Baseball Savant about like his X slugging and his X batting and his X like WOBA. Fantastic. Like, he's actually pitching really good. So, I mean, do I expect it to continue at this rate? Probably not. Is there a huge difference in anything that I was like digging into? Not really. You know, some of the spin stuff is a little different for him. So, I mean, that's always a good thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think for me, I like Kikuchi. I like the price. Like, the price is what's appealing here. You know, we have bats to pay up for on the slate for sure. It's a 10-game slate. So, Yankees bats on non-Kikuchi teams. I mean, it's really hard not to have interest in like Volpe, Judge, Torres. Like, because if Kikuchi's off, this is a team I don't know if I'd like one off these Yankees bats. I think I would either stack or fade the Yankees. Because, like, if I'm stacking the Yankees, I'm just hoping Kikuchi's not having a good game.
Yeah. I mean, it's the walks and the power, right? It has the makings of a blow up spot. The Yankees have a ton of right handed power. That's how you want to attack Kikuchi. Judge, Stanton, Volpe, Torres are absolutely in the mix. I don't love the Soto price lefty-lefty. He's probably just going to take a couple of walks if Kikuchi doesn't have the control. But, I mean, those right-handed power bats I'm very interested in. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to look for any cheapies that might crack the lineup. If Trevino's in there catching, I think he's a solid option. But, yeah, it's all about the big power bats, the righty power bats.
Man, looking through my teams tonight, like, just bad. Just so bad. Oh, what a weird. I know, it's just one of those like weird slates. You're like waiting for the Yankees to kind of, or not the Yankees, the Dodgers to kind of pop off. The Mariners are popping off, and they got Nick Martinez they're facing right now. So, Blue Jays, I mean, you have to really like this spot for Justin Turner and Bo Bichette. Like, Justin Turner's price is really fair at 4,300. Bo Bichette, just phenomenal against left-handed pitching. It's kind of weird because, like, you know, Vlad is better against righties power-wise, like upside-wise. You typically want to play Vlad against, like, right-handed pitchers. Like, his ISO dating back to last year is 74 against lefties, and it's like 205. Against righties. Like, Bichette and Turner, I think those are your main two targets. And I'm still on the train that George Springer just wasn't healthy last year, and we're going to see his numbers a lot better overall. And he was a guy, when he was with Houston, was fantastic against lefties. So I don't mind, like, a top half stack here. Get, you know, maybe a Kirk in there if you want to do, like, a four-man. But, yeah, I don't mind the Blue Jays righties. I just don't think Carlos Rodon is, like, an overpowering pitcher anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you on Rodon. So I have a slight interest here. The Vlad stuff, man, it's wild. He's been off to a really rough start. The ground balls are just killing his power at this point. So I'm probably out on Vlad until I see him turn it around a little bit. Love the Springer take. I'm with you there. I just think he was banged up. He's getting older, so maybe that's just things he's going to have to deal with throughout his career. But if this guy's healthy, I still think Springer's got something left in the tank. Justin Turner looks incredible to start the year, so love that price tag at 4,300. Bichette, as you mentioned. Davis Schneider, somebody that I like also. Dude was phenomenal last season. He's 3,800, only outfield eligible. Wish he had some of that infield eligibility, but I don't mind the price on Schneider at 3,800.
Oh, we should mention Danny Jansen got activated on Monday. Chat just said it as I was talking about it too. He was great against left-handed pitching last season. He started the season on the IL. He's back. He got a rehab assignment. He had a 308 ISO, 338 WOBA against left-handed pitching last year. Like, the more we like talk about the Blue Jays, the more I'm like interested in like a stack of the Blue Jays against Rodon. Like, I'm not scared of Carlos Rodon. Like, 5 years ago, Carlos Rodon, when he was like dominating hitters, sure. But we really just, even in like his good starts, we haven't seen like 10, 11, 12 strikeout Carlos Rodon because he just doesn't have that like overpowering stuff. And he's typically a fly ball guy too. So, I mean, the more I think about it, the more I don't mind the Toronto bats in this spot. Love the Jansen thoughts. 3,100, cheap catcher. You know I'm always in on that. Cleveland at Boston. Nine total in this game. It's a pick 'em game. We got Tanner Bibee against Garrett Whitlock. Any interest here in Bibee?
I do have some interest. Boston struck out at a pretty high clip this season. I believe they're up in, they're 26.8% on the season before the show, which is fourth most in baseball. Bibee has struggled to start the season. He was in a great spot his last time out against the White Sox, and he got beat up for five runs, which was completely unexpected. He was very good in the start before that in a high strikeout matchup against Minnesota, and he delivered with nine strikeouts. And then he was just mediocre against a horrible Oakland team. So very hit or miss to begin the season. I believe in the talent, though. I think Bibee's an above-average pitcher. I think Boston's going to continue to strike out quite a bit. So I'm in at 8,700.
Yeah, so the last year, if you remember last year, we talked about how like the Red Sox just didn't strike out very much, and like it wasn't like the sexiest matchup to target pitching. It's just the complete opposite. There's a lot of strikeouts in this lineup. Trevor Story being out of lineup definitely hurts too, power wise. So I think we still want to kind of respect the Red Sox lineup because I think overall like there's a lot of talent in this lineup, but. The strikeouts are really, really, really juicy. So I don't mind Bibee in tournaments here. I don't want to play Whitlock on the other side. Like, I don't think Garrett Whitlock is necessarily a bad pitcher. Cleveland is such a low strikeout matchup in general that it's really hard to get excited about playing any pitcher against this team. And Whitlock, like, he has good strikeout stuff. It's just not excellent. And like Whitlock's swinging strike rate is 7.9% with a 27% K rate. That screams regression on the strikeout numbers for me. What are your thoughts here on Whitlock?
Yeah, it's the matchup for me. Cleveland just, they don't strike out. They make too much contact. Add in the park upgrade for them going into Fenway Park. They're not a huge power team anyway, but it certainly helps them with the park upgrade here. Whitlock also not a guy that doesn't work that deep into games. He did get over 100 pitches in the start against the Angels, but he hasn't worked more than five innings in any start. I'm just having a difficult time finding the upside here for Whitlock.
Any interest in the Cleveland bats?
Not a team that I love the stack. It's that lack of power that I talked about. Of course, Jose Ramirez, you can always play. I think it was the podcast I was on with Will. When I was filling in for you, these Cleveland bats are just overpriced for their lack of power. Stephen Kwan up at 5K, Josh Naylor at 4,800. Like, I don't like those prices. I know it's Fenway Park and they get a nice boost here, but I'm still not paying up for their minimal power here. Even Bo Naylor, like, I'd like to play him as a cheap catcher, but he's up to 3,900. If he was 3K, I'd have some interest here, but I don't like the pricing here on Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, just outside of Jose Ramirez, and it's really hard to one-off him at his price point. Like, 5,800, it's really hard price point to one-off him. Yeah, just even Naylor. Like, Naylor and Ramirez are the two guys that I like to play from Cleveland. So if you, like, get into that, like, range and, you're building a stack and you really like it and you can, two or three-man, like, Ramirez, Naylor, I mean, okay. But I don't know how many builds you're really going to get into where you're going to have that kind of money left over and feel good about your stack. So maybe there's a cheap stack today. I haven't got that far yet. Boston side, I mean, O'Neill's banged up. He's been the hottest hitter in the lineup here. And I'm pretty sure like he's in concussion protocol. So I highly doubt he's going to play. It just kind of helps Bibee more. O'Neill's been the hottest hitter for the Red Sox this season. I mean, you can always take shots on Devers, but he's off to a really slow start. Like his numbers are way down to start the year. I think he only has like two home runs and he's hitting under 200. So I don't really have a ton of interest in the Red Sox here.
Yeah, I don't either. It's weird to not have interest in the offenses in Fenway Park on a given slate, but that's kind of where I'm at. I definitely prefer the Bibee side of this. He has that changeup that neutralizes lefties as well. So even power bats like Devers and Casas, don't love this spot for them. And then just, it's not a very deep lineup either. So I want to have interest because of the park and because Bibee's had some blow up spots, but I just don't think I'm there today.
All right, we're moving on. We got Pittsburgh at New York. I promise there's bats that we like on this slate. We'll get to them, I promise. We got Jared Jones going up against Jose Quintana. No total for this game. I thought that was somewhat interesting. Any interest here in Jared Jones?
Man, he has looked really legitimate to begin his major league career. Strikeout rate is looking to lead up around 34%. This matchup against the Mets, though, is not the best strikeout matchup. I don't know. Because of the park, I think you could take some shots here. He's certainly not going to be one of my primary targets on the slate. If it were a better matchup, sure, I would have a ton of interest. But the Mets just don't strike out all that much. They're down bottom five, one of the five lowest strikeouts in baseball so far this season. So believe in the talent in Jared Jones. I like the pitcher's park, but just not going to be a primary option for me today.
Yeah, I like him a lot. This dude has big arm. I love big arms. I feel like you can overcome strikeouts by just having a big arm. And when you're throwing 97 plus, like, you have the big arm. And like, we're going to talk about some of the other pitchers in this range, right? Like, Singer is a little bit more than this. Hunter Green, I expect those two guys to be like the popular plays in this range. For good reason. Lance Lynn, I think, potentially gets some ownership just because he's facing Oakland. So I think he's kind of in like a really good price range for ownership purposes. So I just overall like the talent and I like big arms. You know, this is a guy like this is a guy that's not like a no-name prospect. Like, this guy came into the season as a prospect. We knew what to kind of expect. If he made the team, he was going to play. Like, the Pirates have some really good pitching prospects, and like, he was a top 50-ish prospect coming into the season. So like, this isn't like a fluke. The dude throws 97. He has good movement. He has pitches that he can get left-handed hitters out. Like, his strikeout rate against lefties is higher than it is against righties this season. So I believe in the talent enough where if he is going to be kind of overlooked here, I'm just going to play him. Again, like, his slider has been deadly, and his fastball is really good. He has a really good fastball with really good movement, but his slider is generating 48% whiffs right now. Like, can that keep up? We'll see. But like, you look at the matchups, Miami, okay, but like, he did it against Baltimore. Baltimore's a good team, and Philadelphia has a good lineup as well. So I think against the Mets lineup, like you said, they don't strike out as much, but you don't worry about him giving up the long ball, which has been his issue, as much in Citi Field. And like, I think you could get a couple extra strikeouts here. So I like Jones. I don't know if he's like a core pitcher for me, but he's definitely like really close to a top five pitcher for me on this slate, considering ownership. And I mean, I play a lot of three entry max single entry stuff. I don't think this guy gets more than like 5 to 10% ownership today because of the pitchers in this range. And I love the ballpark, and I don't think the Mets are a great offense overall. Yeah, they don't strike out, but I don't think they're going to beat him. And you just kind of hope that, you know, the slider and the fastball are working here. So I like Jones a lot. I don't like Jose Quintana. He's going to get you 100 pitches. He's going to try to throw six innings, but the matchup's not bad, you know. Jose Quintana has zero upside on a 10-game slate. Like, his upside's like 20, 22. Not enough for me.
I'm with you there. Just not enough upside. He's found a way to limit the power damage later in his career here, but the strikeout stuff just is not there. Don't hate the matchup against Pittsburgh. We've talked about the ballpark, but I'm with you. I just don't think there's enough upside here.
I have something like in my nose and it's driving me crazy. Pittsburgh bats. Any interest in the Pittsburgh bats here?
I just kind of talked about how he's limited power really well, Quintana, that is. And then you add in the great pitcher's park, and I don't think I'm stacking against Quintana. He's a guy that's generating a ton of soft contact. I don't think I'm trying to pick on him here.
I love McCutchen against lefties. He's a fair price tag. I don't know if I want to stack Pittsburgh by any means. Edward Alvarez is someone that I really like against lefties. They don't play him every day, so like, you don't know if he's going to be in the lineup, but I assume that he's in the lineup here. he started the season really good. Like, he's hitting really well. He has 3 home runs already, and he's not an everyday player. So he's 3,500. I think I'd be looking at those types of plays here, for, if anything, for Pittsburgh. And then on the Mets side, you can always play Pete Alonso and Nemo. But overall, I think I have a lot more interest in Jones than I do in the Mets bats here.
Yeah, I think you touched on something with Jones. The home run ball has been a bit of an issue for him. So I'm probably just picking out power bats here. I'm trying to find a couple of home runs. Pete Alonso is obviously the number one option here. I like the price tag for Francisco Alvarez, catcher with some power. Brett Beatty is a cheap guy who has a little bit of pop as well. I don't hate that. I don't think I'm stacking it against Jones. I believe in the talent enough that I think the Mets have a hard time stringing together a bunch of hits on him, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him get a home run or two here.
Yeah, I think Alonso's the guy you target, right? You chase that power and you home run upside. I think that's the guy you're kind of looking at in this spot. Kansas City at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. 8 total in this one. The Kansas City Royals, a 142 favorite. We have Brady Singer against Jonathan Cannon. Let's talk Singer first. Gets a fantastic matchup. You know, again, I'm going to be picking on the White Sox all season with good arms, and I think Brady Singer is a good arm. What are your thoughts here on Brady Singer?
Yeah, this is as good of a spot as you're going to find for him. I don't love the price tag at 9,200 because I don't think he's a massive strikeout guy. He did face the White Sox once already this season and went 6 1/3 innings. 4 strikeouts, though. If you can get that up to 6 or 7 strikeouts, now we're talking about paying off 9,200. He put up 18.5 DK points. He did not get the win in that one, for what it's worth. So he pitched really well, but didn't get the win. The strikeouts just weren't quite there. And I don't think the White Sox are going to strike out a ton. But the run prevention should not be a problem in the spot. I'm torn. Like, I don't know that there's a ton of upside from the pitchers on this slate. I think that Singer is as safe as you will find. I probably prefer Gilbert slightly more. Hunter Green, you touched on a little bit. He has big upside. We'll get to that matchup in a second as well. But Singer's in the pool, no doubt about it. I am concerned about the upside for the price, but I think he's about as safe as an option as there is on the slate.
Going to the other side here, for what it's worth, I like Brady Singer a lot. I think that it's just one of those spots where I'm willing to pay a little bit more for a guy that I think can throw like 7 or 6 or 6 or 7 like really quality innings against an offense that's probably not going to beat him up. So the other side of this game, Jonathan Cannon is not in the player pool on DraftKings and FanDuel. I haven't checked Yahoo yet. So just kind of a quick breakdown on him. He's not like this huge prospect. He's not a guy that we expected to be in the majors at all this season. But the White Sox arms are just so banged up right now. Like, they're just calling up anybody that has talent. So, I mean, we saw with Crochet. He was fantastic. They started a new guy again on Monday night. So,
yeah,
we're seeing a lot of... Yeah, we're seeing a lot of young arms just in general for this team. Not a huge prospect here. I mean, overall, looking at his numbers and looking at his stuff, like, ground ball guy, not projected to be like a huge strikeout guy, and his whip was really high in Double A last season. But like, this is a guy that was a Double A pitcher last year, started the season last year in High A ball, and like, this year was his first couple starts in Triple A. Like, he's shown good strikeout stuff so far in AAA, but again, this isn't a guy that was supposed to be in the bigs this year. Like, this isn't a guy that is a prospect like everybody knows about. Like, I don't expect much from him here, and that makes me kind of like the Royals. I think they're an offense you can target in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you can always target the offense facing a guy making his major league debut. For what it's worth, DraftKings did add Mitchell Parker. He wasn't originally on the slate. This is the Nationals pitcher. He wasn't initially in the pool Monday morning, and they did add him. So DraftKings might eventually add Jonathan Cannon to the pool here. I still don't have any interest in pitching him, even if he's 4K. I don't think I'm taking shots. This Kansas City offense has been red hot outside of a little bit of a letdown today or Monday. I'm going right back to the Kansas City bats, though. I just a guy making his debut, hasn't shown huge strikeout stuff in the minors. Like you said, he's been around 25% in AAA, but that's his best strikeout season, best strikeout numbers he's posted so far. I don't think this guy's quite ready. He has a walk rate over 11% in AAA as well. Like you said, the White Sox are just throwing stuff at the wall right now, trying to find any talent as starting pitcher. I don't think this guy is quite it. And I really like Kansas City's prices here as well. I mean, Bobby Witt, of course, is expensive as he deserves to be. Pasquantino finally homered on Monday night. Don't hate going right back to him at 4,400. MJ Melendez is certainly somebody that has power, as does Nelson Velasquez. Like, this Kansas City offense, I think, was slept on a little bit coming into the season. I don't think they're necessarily as good as they performed after the over the last week or two, but I do think they'll end up around league average. And against he's not a non-prospect, but not a top type prospect making his major league debut. I'm definitely in on again Kansas City stack.
Yeah, I mean, at what point does the Chicago White Sox say, "Hey, Kopech, we're going to give you another shot"? Because like,
might have to.
I mean, you're not. Flexen and Sorka are not going to stay in the rotation the whole season. So it's just, yeah, it's a rough go. I like Kansas City bats a lot. I kind of already said that, but I just wanted to hammer it home one more time.
Yep.
As far as the White Sox, with like Moncada and Robert out of the lineup here, it's just not a team that I want to play. I think Singer is a good pitcher, and if they beat me, they beat me kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't see them beating us on this slate. I am out on the White Sox, especially without Robert and Moncada, like you mentioned. There's just no talent on this team, and I think Singer's an above-average pitcher, so no White Sox for me.
All right, moving right along, we got San Diego at my favorite offensive roster this year, the Milwaukee Brewers. 8 total in this game. Dylan Cease, a 132 favorite, going up against Wade Miley. Any interest here in Dylan Cease?
It's going to depend on the ownership for me. I don't love the price tag for Dylan Cease, a guy who can have some control problems, has big strikeout stuff, but this Milwaukee offense has been outstanding to start the season. You kind of touched on it. I'm struggling with the price on Dylan Cease. If he was 9,700, he'd be one of my favorite pitchers on the slate probably, but Milwaukee's like, until they slow down, I have to respect what they've been doing so far. 10-7 feels like a little bit too much for Dylan Cease. So if he's going to be popular, I'll definitely be under the field on him. If he's going to show up with like 4% ownership, then I'd have some interest just for the strikeout upside.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, just very dominant against righties. Just very dominant against righties. So Dylan Cease will be a lineup play for me. They took some of the lefties out of the lineup on Monday night, and if they're gonna go right-handed heavy against Dylan Cease, like, I kind of have some interest. But again, like, I've been playing the Brewers a lot, and they were like, they're this close to getting to Musgrove on Monday, and I wanted to see that happen so bad, but it didn't. Overall, I think I'm with you, kind of feeling this out as like an ownership type of thing, seeing what the lineup looks like and making my decision on Dylan Cease from there. I don't think he's a bad pitcher. I think he's a very good pitcher. He throws a disc really far, and he's building really cool disc golf courses. So like, he's already, you know, in my heart in that aspect. But yeah, I mean, 10-7 is the problem for me. Yep. I don't think Dylan Cease is $1,200 more than anybody on this slate pitching wise. So like, that's going to play a factor in for me as well. Wade Miley on the other side. Hey, this is an easy no for me. First of all, just not stretched out. Second of all, terrible matchup. Easy fade for me on Wade Miley today.
Easy fade for me as well. 52 pitches in his first start of the season. Doesn't generally go deep into games anyway. No strikeout upside, especially against this high contact San Diego team.
The Braves tried to get the over in that inning. It wasn't a pretty, but they tried to get the over. Let's go Padres bats. I like the Padres a lot today. I want to pick on Wade Miley. Like, I don't think Wade Miley is up to his, like, I'm going to generate ground balls and soft contacts phase yet. Like, I just don't think that's going to be the case. He faced a young Reds team that you can do that to. There's a lot of talent in this San Diego lineup, and they're really good against left-handed pitching. They got Xander Bogaerts, they got Fernando Tatis, Machado, Kim. I think this is a spot we definitely want to play some San Diego bats on the road too, so you're guaranteed that ninth inning. Like, I like the Padres bats.
Yeah, I do as well. I think you touched on something really important, and I talked about it a little bit on Monday with Joe Ross against them. San Diego has a lot of ground ball hitters. So if Miley does have his ground ball stuff, like, the Padres might still be able to get to him with Babbitt, but there's a chance that Miley could limit the damage here. I think that just the lefty aspect of it, I like San Diego against lefties a lot more. Machado is in an awesome spot, I think. Tatis is fine as well, but love the price tag on Machado, just 4,800. Ha-Seong Kim might be my favorite value play on the entire slate at 3,900. Dude smashed lefties last year. I think that's way too cheap. He's been up in the high 4Ks before at times last season for sure. And then you have young guys like Jackson Merrill. He's lefty-lefty, so maybe not in this matchup. Campusano, the catcher, I think is a great cheap catching option. So I'm with you. I like the San Diego stack here. You know Miley's not going to miss bats. You need a little bit of BABIP on your side. And if he doesn't have the sinker working, that gets hit over the fence. So I definitely like San Diego.
Overall, if it's working, it could be dangerous. But there's just no strikeout upside here for him. Like, there's going to be a lot of contact made here. So I love attacking teams in those scenarios. Like, especially with the talent this team has, too. Like, when you're having a lot of contact, there's going to be some balls that, you know, fly over the fence just in general too. So I think this is a spot you kind of want to look at this team. So and I was looking up earlier, the Brewers bullpen's like a middle of the road bullpen to start the season too. So Milwaukee bats, Dylan Cease, do you keep doing it? I mean, I'm considering it. Like, they've just been so good.
Yeah, they have been really good. I was looking at some numbers when you mentioned that. Coming into today, they had a 127 WRC plus, third in baseball behind the Braves and the Astros. Like, they've been better than good. They've been elite so far this season. I don't think they're quite that good. They're going to come back to earth, but why not try to ride the hot streak? I think they're a team that, like, you're not playing one-offs for Milwaukee. You're hoping that Cease goes out there, cannot find the strike zone, and he racks up 95 pitches in the first three or four innings, and then you have a bullpen game from there. So I don't hate a couple of Milwaukee stacks. It's not going to be one of my primary targets. I like, more than likely, Cease is a very solid above average major league pitcher, and he goes out there and racks up 7 strikeouts and shuts them down mostly over 6 innings. So I don't love the stack, but I do want at least some exposure to them, just because of the fact that Cease has these blow up outings.
Yeezy says, welcome aboard, Keith. There's plenty of room on the Brewer train.
Still not a believer, sir.
Yeah. I really want Christian Yelich to be back. Like, and I want him to be healthy, but it sounds like he might end up on the IL here with the back injury. That's a huge downgrade. I love the cheap lefties. I don't know if I full stack Milwaukee today like I have been, but like, some of these cheap lefties, like Dylan Cease gives up home runs. So attacking some of these guys that have like that home run plus like stolen base upside. Just, I mean, the Brewers have been fun this year. Like, you look at what they've been doing this year on the base pass too, and it's just like their ceiling is just massive. So I don't mind the Brew Crew again. Moving on, we got Atlanta at Houston. Hey, back to Atlanta at Houston. Slight favorites to Atlanta, Renardo Lopez, Hunter Brown. I mean, this is the same scenario as yesterday, and I feel like we just have to put Monday's slate out of our head and go right back to it. I mean, Renardo Lopez has been really solid to start the season. He's been one of those bright spots for the Braves who have dealt with a lot of pitching issues, and now Strider's out for the season. I don't know if I want to do Renardo Lopez against Houston, but I definitely respect how he's pitching, and I'll be back probably next time out. But Darius Vines pitched decent, and like he kind of stinks. I don't want to do Renardo Lopez against this offense.
Yeah, there's rarely any pitchers that I'll play against Houston. Just too low a strikeout, massive power throughout the lineup. So I'm out on Lopez also.
I can tell you for certain I'm not playing Hunter Brown, and I might pick on him more than anybody else on the slate. Like, I stacked Kansas City so much against him last start, and he doesn't have it right now. Something's up. I think he's an extremely talented young pitcher that is just, something's off. I don't know what's off. I looked into the stats. I can't figure it out. I watched the start. They hit everything. Maybe he is like tipping his pitches somehow, because I watched the Kansas City start, Keith. He was throwing good pitches and they just hit everything. They like, hey, I know it's coming, I'm going to hit it. And they hit everything against him.
Yeah, there's no way you can play this guy. He's a better talent than 6,500 when he's right, but he's just not right at this moment. So I think you need to wait for him to figure it out. Big arm, big talent, great curveball when he's right, but he's just not right now.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Braves stack. I'm going right back to it. They burned us all. I mean, we all played the Braves, and they scored some runs. That's not why you're playing the Braves. You're not playing the Braves for RBI singles. I'm sorry, that's not why you're paying these prices for. I'm going right back to the well on the Braves stack here.
Yeah, me too. Just too good of a lineup to keep them down for very long. Hunter Brown going through his struggles right now. Don't think it gets any better for him today here against this potent Atlanta offense. If I was picking out a favorite bat, I love the price tag for Michael Harris. He's down in the order a little bit, which generally keeps his ownership in check. But 1-9, I think, is playable. Kelnick at the bottom of the order is still really cheap. I love the wraparound stack going up to Acuna and the big boys, like just a way to help you fit it in and still get decent pitching. So love Atlanta today.
Kelnick's going to figure it out. He's going to have, he has second chance here with Atlanta, and this team is just too good not to like for him to start figuring it out. Like, he's not hitting for power, but he's hitting the ball way better than he did in Seattle last year. So like, eventually the power is going to come. So yeah, I mean, I love playing him in my stacks, and they had, who'd they have in there at like almost minimum salary? Yeah, he played and like he just opened up the whole Braves stack, because like you could play him at second or third base, and when you're building Braves stack, you're typically leaving like one of Albies or Riley out anyway, because you want Olsen and Acuna. This season you want Ozuna. So I mean, if he's back in there, he's 2,200 on DK. On the Houston side, I mean, throughout his career, Renardo Lopez has really struggled with lefties. And, like, you look at it this year, and he's dominated lefties. Something's going to give. What are your thoughts here on the Houston bats?
Yeah, I mean, Houston's just another elite offense. I think Renardo Lopez is probably above average at this point, but I still will have some Houston stack exposure. They're just too good of an offense not to want to stack every day. The big lefties are my favorite targets, Alvarez and Tucker. Maybe Lopez has figured out a way to neutralize lefties, and good for him if that's the case, but I'll bet on Alvarez and Tucker in any matchup. Altuve is fairly priced, I believe, at 5,300 at the top of this lineup. Pena is still pretty cheap. Diaz's price is coming up, but I think there's still talent there for a catcher. I think Lopez is a decent pitcher, but I'm still going to stack Houston against him.
So I was looking at Renato Lopez earlier, and I was like, all right, he's faced the Mets and the White Sox, and he's throwing almost 67% fastballs to lefties. I think overall, you have to play the bats and just say, was that stuff that we saw? Like, he has a 16% whiff rate on the fastball against lefties. Like, if you're not throwing fastballs by Jordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker, they're hitting them very far. So I'm going back to the well here on the Houston stack. I like this spot quite a bit. And again, I like this game. Here we go again. But I feel like DFS baseball is a long season, right? It's 200 plus slates. NBA basketball, you can get super tilted and you have to wait like 2 days sometimes to like go back and, you know, decide on if you want to play DFS baseball. You have to have the biggest, shortest memory ever. You just have to play guys in good spots, and over the course of a season, you'll win more than you'll lose by playing the right plays. Like, there's right plays and there's wrong plays, and when you're attacking good spots, it's going to work more than it's not. And it didn't work on Monday. Okay, back at it on Tuesday. Here we go again. Chicago Cubs, your Cubbies. At Arizona, 9.5 total here. Battle of the terrible pitchers. we talked about wanting some bats. We found them. I mean, I'm not playing Kyle Hendricks. I'm guessing you don't want Kyle Hendricks.
Absolutely not. It's over for Kyle Hendricks.
He's awful. yeah, the days of generating ground balls and pitching decent, just not there for Kyle Hendricks anymore. Hey, you had a good career. Time to hang up the cleats. Arizona is my favorite stack in the slate. We'll talk about them in a second. Tommy Henry, hey, you're early in your career and you still kind of not missing bats, my friend. Any interest here in Tommy Henry?
No interest in Henry either. The Cubs just, they haven't struck out that much. They're an extremely patient offense. Suzuki going down definitely weakens the lineup a little bit, but I still think the Cubs are really good against lefties.
I got to give Yeezy a shout out. He was in chat last night on the Morning Grind, and he was talking up Ben Brown, and Ben Brown did his thing. Shout out to Yeezy. I played Montas. It happens, but I wanted to give him a shout out. He was very high on Ben Brown yesterday, and Ben Brown going to outscore a lot of the pitchers here, but
even I overall wasn't on Ben Brown. That's impressive, Yeezy. So I love Ben Brown. I think the curveball is absolutely legit. I couldn't get behind him in a matchup against Arizona with only two pitches. If he develops that a third pitch, like if he finds a changeup or something, like he could be a guy, because that curveball is definitely legit.
I mean, he nailed it. I mean, there's nothing else to say. Congrats, he nailed it. I wasn't on it. I'm not okay. To be fair though, like too, I'm not playing a lot of right-handed pitchers against the the Diamondbacks. Sorry.
Yeah.
Do we have thoughts on Henry? Do we want to play Henry? I mean, no, like you said, Suzuki definitely hurts the lineup a little bit, but I mean, Swanson still good against lefties. Morel, very good against lefties. They did bring in Garrett Cooper this offseason. He's good against lefties. Bellinger's really good lefty-lefty. I don't think I want to play Henry here. I wish Suzuki was in there, but obviously it stinks. Wisdom on the IL hurts a little bit too. Those are like your power guys, but I think there's enough here that I don't want to play Henry in this spot. Henry's just not a dominant guy. Like, gives up a ton of hard contact. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about these Cubbies bats. I mean, kind of all the guys I just said. I really like Morel. I think he's one of the top hitters on the slate. I think he's way underpriced for this matchup today.
I think all the Cubs are underpriced, to be honest. Horner's probably going to lead off at 4,200. Has some speed upside. I like him. Morel, like you mentioned, is probably the top option. Don't hate the Bellinger price at 4,800. Was awesome lefty-lefty last year. Happ is definitely better from the other side, so he would be the guy I'm leaving out if picking between the top options. Swanson is fine. Cooper's price is up, but he had a great year against lefties. I am curious to see what they do with Michael Bush. Does he get a start against a lefty here?
You can't take him out of the lineup. Like, you got to DH him, right? Like, you just DH him. Like, you got to have Cooper in the lineup, but you can't take Michael Bush out of the lineup right now. Like, I don't care if it's lefty-lefty. You can't take this guy out of the lineup. If you take Michael Bush out of the lineup, you should be fired. straight, like on the spot. Like, I'm semi joking about being fired, but like, why? Like, this dude is he's scorching right now.
Yeah, he'll be in there.
Like, that probably who means... cares if it's lefty lefty? He should be hitting fourth or fifth in this lineup tomorrow, saying, "Hey, I believe in what you're doing right now." I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. He'll be in there. I think Cooper will as well. One of them will DH. One will play first base, which might mean Bellinger's in the outfield. I really want Canario, the guy they called up to replace Suzuki. I really want him in the lineup. I think he has a chance. He's a bit of a power prospect, has a chance to hit lefties really well. He's only 3,400. If he cracks the lineup over somebody like Tauchman, I'd be really interested in that. Whoever's catching, I have interest in as well. If it's Gomes, for sure, at 3,300. I like the Cubs a lot. Surprise.
Yeah. Whoever catches, like either catcher, yep. I would prefer it to be Yan Gomes, because I think Yan Gomes has a little bit more upside than Amaya, but I think both of them are in play here, depending on like who's in there. But yeah, Horner, like I like the Cubs just in general, and I love the Arizona Diamondbacks today. Like I said, they're my top stack on the slate. Kyle Hendricks is atrociously bad, and the Cubs bullpen has been struggling to start the season, so. And if you're getting the runs in this game for Arizona and they do get to Hendricks, like you're getting the bad part of that, the bullpen that's been struggling. So I love Arizona today.
Yeah. I mean, it's over for Kyle Hendricks. He can't keep the ball in the park. He's never been a guy who threw hard, and like he's like under 88 miles an hour at this point. And he doesn't have that pinpoint control from when he was an elite pitcher. Like he's just up there throwing batting practice. So absolutely love Arizona. You can play anybody in the lineup. Carroll is probably the top hitter on the slate for me. I love Christian Walker as well. Like Hendricks isn't striking anybody out at this point. So guys with big time power, but strikeout issues, Eugenio Suarez be another guy in that mold. Jock Peterson at 3,900. Are you kidding me? Like Peterson has two home run upside at 3,900. Like I absolutely love Jock today.
Me too. Shocked. Anybody that's listened to the podcast for a long time, I have a Jock Peterson Dodgers jersey, and I am not a Dodgers fan. I'm just saying, like, there was a run there where I scheduled Jock Peterson home run tweets. You know, people actually thought that was true. fun stuff. But, yeah, I love Arizona today. Like, don't be afraid to play the righties. Like Kyle Hendricks is missing, like he's just not missing bats at all. And the days of him generating ground balls and getting out of innings is just not there right now. So love Arizona. St. Louis at Oakland, Lance Lynn, JP Sears, 8 total. Cardinals are 154 favorite. Lance Lynn, 8,400 here. I actually like Lance Lynn. I think that Lance Lynn's going to give you 5 to 7 quality innings against one of the worst offenses in baseball that actually strike out and can't go like extreme lefty against him. So we're watching Sonny Gray pitch a gem. I don't expect it to be that high, but I think Lance Lynn is a great option today.
Yeah, I do as well. Like he had a great outing against Philly his last time out. Little heavy on the walks, but like, you have to think he's going to eventually get back to having solid control. A little, and the matchup against Oakland boosts the strikeout upside. The park limits the home run damage that can be done against him, and the weak power in the Oakland lineup. So, just really hard to find a path for Lance Lynn not to have a really quality outing here. If he's going to be super popular, I might end up underweight on him with a pivot. Maybe for your guy like Jared Jones, I love getting up to Bibee in that situation, but. If we're talking about like 20% ownership, I'm going to be over the field on Lynn.
Yeah, I like this spot.
Yeah.
Shocking. JP Sears pitched really well against Texas last time. I don't know if I've ever been as tilted as watching JP Sears pitch so good last time out.
No, hit him for six innings, didn't he?
Yeah, dude. I had a really good team going that night with Texas bats, and it just never happened. And it was so tilting. I don't expect JP Sears to be good. I don't want to play him here.
It's the price. If you're looking for somebody at 6K, I think he's in play. I don't know. I don't want to do it either, really, but the St. Louis offense doesn't scare me at this point. The ballpark is awful for offense. I see a path where Sears could be useful at 6,300. I don't know. It's nothing to be excited about, but it's very much like the Ross Stripling or Martin Perez from Monday night. Like, you're not excited to do it. You're clicking the button because you need the salary. And he's a pitcher throwing baseballs at that price who theoretically could have a decent outing. That's what Sears is for me today.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
My question to you is, why not just play Landon Knack for $400 less?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. He's certainly in that conversation as well. We'll talk about him.
And, like, it's not 100% that Knack is going to pitch, but, like, it seems very likely that he starts today. I'm just saying. I would prefer Knack over Sears. So
I think Sears has a little bit more strikeout upside, just given the matchup there against Washington. I will say Knack's went at least five innings in all three of his AAA starts this season. So I do think he's in play. And I was trying to, even before the show, when I was just digging into the slate a little bit, I was trying to decide which one I prefer between those two, and I'm still not entirely sold. Knack does have a 27% strikeout rate in AAA this year, so Knack's probably the guy over Sears. You're right.
Yeah, he sits at like 94 to 96 with like 98 upside. So I will, like, J.P. Sears becomes so much more interesting if they leave all the lefties in the lineup. But I just don't expect the Cardinals to do that. Like, I don't expect them to leave five lefties in the lineup here. So, I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they do, and maybe you could play Sears, but I don't want to. Like, he's a flyball pitcher, and as bad as the Cardinals stink, I just don't think you can do it. Let's talk about those Cardinals bats. I mean, if you want to pay up for Contreras, this seems like a great spot to pay up for Contreras. Arenado, Goldschmidt have been ice cold to start the season, and we have been picking on them a lot. But I mean, they throughout their careers have been two of the best hitters against left-handed pitching for the last, I feel like, 10 years. I don't know how long Arenado has been in the league, but I feel like Goldschmidt is a guy we've played against lefties for years.
Yeah, I think both of them are 10 plus guys for sure. And I echo that sentiment completely. Like, I know they've struggled. They're both getting up there in age. Maybe it's over for them. I kind of doubt it. They're going to rebound eventually. So I like both of them here. Contreras is a great option as well. Jordan Walker has also struggled, but man, he has some massive power. I think he's going to figure it out eventually as well. 3,200 for Jordan Walker, a guy that I like quite a bit here. I don't know. I'm probably just picking out home runs more than I'm stacking them here. I think Sears is an average enough pitcher to hold them down, given the ballpark. He's going to induce enough soft contact in the air that he doesn't give up a ton of home runs, but he probably gives up one or two at minimum. So I don't mind trying to find those.
Do you think they DH Contreras today and let Herrera catch at 3,100? Like, yeah. He's shown big power against lefties.
I think that's definitely a possibility. When you said they wouldn't put all the lefties in there against them, I was kind of thinking, well, they kind of have to play some of these lefties. But yeah, I think the two catchers might be a way to do that. I think that's a very strong possibility. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, with Carlson being out too, like, that's another right-handed bat that they lose because he's a switchy. So I like, if Herrera is in there, he's probably my like cheap catcher today. He is a guy that I really like if he's in the lineup. He's had three home runs already this year. Like, I don't know how you don't get this guy more at bats with the offense is struggling as bad as the Cardinals right now. Oakland, on non-Lance Lynn teams, I think you could potentially take some shots on like Seth Brown and Bode and Nada just because they're so cheap. And like throughout his career, Lance Lynn has struggled with lefties. I'm not stacking Oakland by any means, and I have way more interest in Lance Lynn than I do in Oakland, but I think it'd be a crime to these cheap Oakland bats if we didn't at least mention how cheap they are against Lance Lynn.
Yeah, exact same thoughts. I don't have anything to add. It's the three lefty power bats that you're targeting here.
Cincinnati at Seattle. 7 total in this game. Seattle, 136 favorite. Hunter Green, Logan Gilbert facing off against each other here. Strikeout-wise, Hunter Green might have the highest strikeout ceiling on the slate when we're looking at matchup. His strikeout stuff, you always worry about, like, the long ball. You worry about, like, the potential struggles that he can have. But, like, when we're attacking, like, strikeout ceiling, I think Hunter Green has to be on the top of the list today.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that Kikuchi matchup, how there's potentially a ton of strikeouts, but he could potentially give up several home runs as well. Exact same type of spot here for Hunter Green. And really, every time Hunter Green pitches, that's basically his profile. He's an extreme fly ball guy with massive stuff, throws over 100 miles an hour. He's going to rack up strikeouts in some matches. He's also going to get touched up for a couple of home runs in matchups, just like we saw his last time out against Milwaukee. So boom bust spot. 9K is a totally fair price tag. He could absolutely rack up 10 strikeouts. Seattle's a very high strikeout lineup. I think you just target the upside and hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean, you could potentially play some Seattle bats or not play a lot of Green, but I think you just attack his ceiling here. Logan Gilbert, I think he has a big upside in this spot too. Like, you just, as young as the Cincinnati team is, like, they are going to beat you days where they're just going to pound you, but they're going to strike out a lot too. And I think Gilbert, like, one of my reasons that I didn't love Dylan Cease is because, like, I can go down to these two guys and get the upside just as much. Like, they probably have a higher ceiling than Cease at cheaper price tag. Any interest here in Gilbert?
Yeah, tons of interest in Gilbert. Probably my favorite pitcher on the slate. I had a ton of interest in George Kirby in the same matchup because of the matchup, even after he had struggled his last two starts. So Gilbert has better strikeout upside. 9,500 is a very fair price for this matchup. Love him in the spot.
I think it's very fitting that Glasnow is getting beat up, right? Like, it just pounds to the slate, and, like, you just close this slate and move on so much on Monday night. Like, you know, just done. I don't think I play bats in this game. I think if anything, you're potentially targeting power against Green, but I mentioned this yesterday on the podcast, like, Julio Rodriguez is hitting everything on the ground right now. Kind of what you were talking about with Vlad. I talked about yesterday with Julio Rodriguez. Like, I mean, I love the upside of the Reds, but I don't love the matchup. And for Seattle, they just strike out so much that I think you're just targeting power. It was really good to see Polanco hit a home run. He's really struggled to start the season, but any bats on either side for you here?
Nothing on Cincinnati. Gilbert's just a really solid pitcher. I do think Green is beatable with power, so I don't mind some Seattle one-offs here. Julio, man, if he's going to get right, this would be the spot for it against an extreme fly ball pitcher. If he's struggling with ground ball issues, this is a spot where he could turn it around. Haniger has big power at 3,700. Garver, like, Green struggles with power to both sides of the plate, but he's actually given up more power to righties early in his career. So don't be afraid to pick up, like, handedness doesn't really matter to me. I'm looking for guys with big time power. Raleigh certainly has big power, but if I was picking a preference, I slightly prefer righties. So give me Haniger, give me Garver, Julio as well.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, Riley at the catcher, chasing his home run upside is never a bad idea.
Yeah.
Finish out the slate with Washington at LA taking on the Dodgers. We got Patrick Corbin, and it sounds like Landon Knack will pitch, but we don't know if that changes throughout the day or not. Let's start with Patrick Corbin. Are we playing him today?
Absolutely not.
He's cheap though, Keith. He's cheap. So Landon Knack is someone, I'll let you go first, and then I'll scoop up what you don't touch on here.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it a little bit already. I think he's a guy who can work deep into this game. I don't love trying to pick on Washington. I wasn't as high as the field on Glasnow on Monday night for that reason. Like they just don't strike out a ton. Adding Gallo and Winker and guys like that to the lineup helps a little bit. They're not as extreme low strikeout as they were last year, but still not a ton of strikeouts. That being said, they don't have a ton of power either. And they don't walk very much. So Knack could go pretty deep into this game. He's been at least five innings in each of his AAA starts. And the strikeout stuff has looked pretty decent. The control has been well above average all throughout his climb through the minors. So he's a legitimate pitching prospect. We know the Dodgers are famous for developing these arms. He's another line in a long line of their pitching prospects. I don't hate a stab on him at 6K today.
Landon Knack has the ability and prospects to be a dominant pitcher in the majors if he can develop the third pitch. He has a really good fastball slider combination. His changeup is okay. His curveball is awful. If he can get that third pitch, whether it be a changeup, a cutter, whatever it may be, like he has that upside. But control-wise, this guy, he was drafted because of his control. And was talked about a lot because of his control in college. Like he big time, like you heard about Landon Knack a lot in 2020 when like we had the shortened seasons because of all the COVID stuff that happened. So I think the potential is there. I just kind of want like five clean innings here. I really think like 15 points at 6K is enough for me on this slate. I think there's a lot of good pitching options on this slate. And you might want to prioritize pitching on the slate by the end of the day. But I think that if you're going to go down here, I think he's an option for sure, just overall. So any interest in the Washington Bats here?
Mild interest, and that's just because Knack's making his major league debut. Anything can happen in baseball. We just saw Washington touch up Tyler Glasnow, so they could certainly get to Landon Knack. They're certainly not a primary target, but guys like C.J. Abrams, Lane Thomas, Joey Gallo, if you're looking for a home run, not something I love by any means, but I wouldn't rule them out.
My best team on FanDuel that has Polanco, Vinny, and Fraley, who just hit a home run, has Glasnow. I can't win today. It is what it is, right?
On this slate, yep.
Just yeah, that was slate. That was my Kansas City stack, and like if the Royals did anything, but I mean, it's one of those slates you just brush off and move to the next one. And you're like, all right, I'm gonna have losing slates. I'm not gonna win every slate of baseball season. You know, win every slate of baseball season, you'd have a really great year. Because I mean, Anyway, I don't have a ton of interest in Washington just because like you look at the bats on the slate and you're like, do I really find a way to get to Washington? But I mean, I like the Dodgers a lot today. Like, it's Patrick Corbin. They're the late night hammer. They're expensive. They're not going to have a ton of ownership. And Mookie Betts might be the best hitter in baseball this year so far, outside of Michael Bush. I just overall, I love the Dodgers. And I want to play all the Dodgers, like all the cheap ones that'll be in there. The lefties on the lefty-lefty against Corbin. I don't expect Corbin to go deep into this game. So, I mean, I love the Dodgers. They disappointed like on Monday as well, but right back to it.
Yeah, right back to it. Awesome spot for the Dodgers. 1-9, stack them up. Teoscar Hernandez might be one of my favorite hitters on the slate at 5K. Mookie's been incredible, like you said. Don't mind lefties. Will Smith, if you're spending up at catcher. Chris Taylor is super cheap again, 2,800. I think he's even cheaper than he was on Monday night. If Kike's in there, he's 2,900. Whatever cheapies are in there, stack them up 1-9 and play.
All right. Don't look, they will make you mad if you look at the first place lineups. Nothing makes me mad. I don't get mad. I get tilted in NASCAR. I'm still tilted about yesterday. Anyway, moving on. Let's play the morning grind game, and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who you got for us today? I think it's very obvious who you got, but go ahead.
I have Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah. That's the right answer. For anybody wondering, that's the right answer. Honestly, I don't like any of these guys because I just don't see a ton of upside with any of these guys. So, yeah, I mean, I'll take none of them. Give me Knack. And I don't even love this. I just think he's the best option of what's left. So give me Knack. Over 8K to score under 15. Who is your bust today?
I'm going to have to go with your boy, Garrett Whitlock. Just a tough matchup for him against Cleveland. Probably doesn't go too deep into the game, and Cleveland doesn't strike out much.
Yeah, I hate going second on this show. Absolutely hate going second on this show. Derek asks if Patrick Corbin is easy to steal on. We did not talk about that, but yes, I think he has the second or third most stolen bases allowed since the start of last season. So, yes, the answer to that question is yes, which is weird because he's a lefty, but yes. So I think he has a high leg kick, right? Like he doesn't have like a slide step. He has a high leg kick, and that's probably why.
Yep, slow to home plate.
Yeah, so there you go. Answers that question for you, Derek. But over 8K to bust. I love the Whitlock call. That's who I had written down. Renardo Lopez is cheating because he's right at 8K, but give me Renardo Lopez.
I'll give it to you.
It's my show. I don't have to get permission. Over. Listen, I always say the number right on it is good. Over 4K to get it to hit a home run. Who's going yard today?
Kyle Hendricks is dust, and Corbin Carroll is going yard.
Could be worse. You could pick Juan Soto like I did yesterday. Over 3, over 4.
Man, I love those Yankees lefties on Monday night. Yet another team that just fucked.
Just weird slates, man. Weird slates. Give me Kyle Tucker to hit a home run today off of Renardo Lopez. Under 4K to get two hits. I have a feeling you're going to steal mine, but go ahead.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe. Hassan Kim against Wade Miley.
Oh, no. Okay, yes. Sweet. Jock Peterson, baby. Yeah. under 4K. I know like he hasn't been scorching to start the season, but like Jock Peterson has a really good eye. The power is going to come. The home runs are going to come. He's been getting on base. Like that gives you upside in itself. So yeah, love Jock Peterson today. Stack to score 6 or more runs. Who do you got?
I think there's a lot of options today. I'm going to go a little bit off the board and go with my guys. Give me the Cubs against Tommy Henry. I like the way they set up against lefties.
Are we like foreshadowing a bet in this game? Because I like Arizona. Should we be betting the over in this game?
I am not going to bet on Kyle Hendricks. Come on. Oh, on the over? Yeah.
The
yeah,
over. I like the I over. Said the yes, over. Yes, yes, yes. I didn't say
I thought you wanted me to take the Cubs and you take
no, the Cubs. No, we're betting on.
I'm on the over. Yep. I like the over.
Yeah, I'm gonna lock this in now. 9.5 -120. Let's just lock it in. There you go. Speaking of bets, let's get to the betting portion of the show. Anything standing out to you here in the betting market today?
Wasn't anything up before I jumped on here. Still isn't. Wade Miley is the only pitcher prop posted, and he's at 2.5 strikeouts. I will probably be avoiding that one. Heavily juiced to the over. Yeah, no, nothing really standing out, unfortunately. Not a lot posted up there.
Yeah, no props that I saw. And I was looking, pulling it up again just to see if it's up because it wasn't up yet. It's still not up. So I think it's going to be really close to like even money in this Pittsburgh New York Mets game. If you could find like the Pittsburgh Pirates first five where it's really close to even money or better for them just to win the first five, like not laying any points or anything. I really believe in Jared Jones. And I don't believe in Jose Quintana. So I like Pittsburgh's first five. I don't trust, like, I love these first five bets, Keith. They've been like the most profitable thing for me this year. Cause you just throw bullpens out of the water and like the Mets have a good bullpen. So I like the first five more than I like the full game here, but that's not up yet. I don't know why the Pittsburgh line's not coming up yet, but it's not up yet. So I'm tempted to go back to the over in the Atlanta-Houston game. I think you could, depending on – I'm going to pull it up really quick. First five for Atlanta-Houston. I mean, you're getting Braves at minus 120 for the first five win there. I do think Lopez is a much better pitcher than Hunter Brown. But I don't know if I want to even touch that. If anything, I'd bet the over in that game. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Fun slate. Lots of pitching, lots of good offenses. So should be a fun one.
That's going to wrap it up here for Tuesday. We're back Wednesday. I'm pretty sure we have an early slate breakdown on Wednesday. I think Wednesday's slate is an early slate. I remember Meansy saying something today about it, and I'm pretty sure me and Devin both scheduled early shows Wednesday. I'm pulling it up. Yes. So early slate Wednesday. Not only will we be breaking it down with Tim on the podcast, I'll be on Crunch Time Wednesday with my good buddy Cheese. You might know him. Cheese is good. So that'll wrap it up for Monday or Tuesday. Have a good one, everyone. We're back tomorrow talking baseball. We'll see you then.